You cannot purchase any more IBC Live tickets. However, you can watch IBC Live if you visit indianabiblecollege.org/IBC Live. We'll be streaming it, live streaming it there. Circle up your youth group, circle up your friends, your family, indianabiblecollege.org/IBC Live. Today on the Indiana Bible College podcast, we have Senior Chris Branch preaching a message entitled Bloody Ministers.
For a little while, I'm going to talk on Moses. And I won't lie, I got a little nervous because at the beginning of the semester, there was like 7 sermons in chapel out of Exodus. In some way, shape, or fashion on Moses. I count it. It's crazy. And this has been something that's on my, like, it's been on my heart for a little while. I've wrestled with it, and it's like, it's challenged me and pushed me. So again, it's on Moses. I've heard so many sermons on Moses. Even when I was in the Baptist church, that's where I was raised, if you didn't know. Moses was a familiar topic. In Sunday school, they would talk about it. There's been movies on Moses. There's been books on Moses. Even in schools, in some songs, there's like references to Moses. It's crazy. Like, everybody knows who Moses is. I remember an evangelist came to our church one time named Michael Easter. And he preached on the glory of God and how Moses was on the mountain and he was talking back and forth with the Lord, and he said, show me your glory. And he showed him the hind parts of his glory, however you interpret that. But his face glowed, and I remember I was a young boy around 16 or 17. I was fairly new to church. I would go home in my small room, and literally this room is so small that I could reach and touch one side and lean over and touch the other side. My room is literally that small back home. But I would close the door, and as quiet as I could to not wake up my mom or my dad or my sister, and I would pray, Lord, show me your glory. I remember those moments. Do you remember those moments? Some do. But I also remember hearing sermons about the burning bush and how Moses had encounters with the Lord. And I would go back and I would take those notes and I would pray, Lord, I want to have encounters with you like that. Lord Jesus, I want to talk with you the way Moses talked with you. All the sermons about how he parted the Red Sea, and these were great things. And I say, Lord, I want to part the Red Seas as a young man. I mean, you probably won't. I don't know. Whatever. But I wanted to do things like Moses did things. I wanted to be used like Moses did. There's been leadership lessons on Moses about, you know, how you can't do it all on your own and you got to have help. And there were the battles going on, and Moses is holding his hands up. Then they come and they support him, and when his hands are lifted, then they would win. And when they'd fall, you know, the enemy would prevail against them. But you have to have help in ministry. Everybody, I don't care who you are, you've heard something on Moses. He was merely a man, but he was used of God. And that was something that always inspired me. And it's in Hebrews 11. Where it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's a great man, that man Moses. Look at your neighbor and say, that man Moses. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, look at your neighbor and say, by faith. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith. He was a man with many weaknesses. He had a speech impediment, and he kind of used that as an excuse, but the Lord provided another way. Yet still, he did great things, and that gave me hope. That gave me hope because I know I'm a person that's flawed. We're all friends here, whatever. And we all go through things, and we all have our own flaws. But still, God can use you. And that gave me hope. But it was this thing that I was reading, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the Bible, and I'm going to try and read through. And I read something, and it was three verses that stood out to me that I never really heard preached before. You don't see in the movies. You won't read about. You won't hear about it in songs. But the context before this is Moses just had the burning bush, and God had called him, and he revealed himself that I am that I am. And that was a mighty moment for Moses. It set perspective for him. And then the Lord is telling Moses, these are the things that you're going to do. He's got a call. He's got a revelation. He's seen the Lord. And he says, you're going to go and you're going to deliver my people. I've got a plan for your life, Moses. And again, Moses had forsaken the world or Egypt, and he's gone away, and he's not taking the identity of an Egyptian. He said, I'm an Israelite. And he identified with that. And it's in this moment where you keep going, and I'm reading and reading, and I get to chapter 4, and I get to 24. And it says, and it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband thou art to me. So he let him go. Then he said, a bloody husband thou art to me because of the circumcision. So what's going on? This is crazy. This is crazy. In three verses, you go from a call, he's preparing to leave, he's gathered his family, and he's going forward, and like, we got to go. He tells his father-in-law, you got to let us go. We've got to do this thing for the Lord. But in transition between there and Egypt, the Lord seeks his life. He seeks to kill him. And that bothered me. I was like, what's going on right there? But evidently, Moses had forsaken something. While he accepted the call, he forgot something in covenant. His son, which he had two sons, it doesn't say specifically which son, but he never circumcised his son. Moses, I guess you could assume that he himself had been circumcised, but he had not circumcised his son. And it's in this moment where you can look and see that the Lord would rather you be in right alignment with him than going to work for him. On the way to do God's will, he forsook God's will. So I've got one point today. That's really all it is that on the way to do God's will, friends, brothers, acquaintances, have you forsaken God's will? It's a question of relationship. It's a question of relationship. At IBC, you're at one of the busiest places of all time that you'll probably like, well, maybe, be in your life. You've got assignments going on. You've got practices, all the worship studies, students, come on. You've got practices. You've got books to read. You've got papers to write. And for some odd reason, sometimes the very thing that we forsake is relationship. It's relationship. Moses was the right man at the right time with the right word. He was equipped. He knew where he was going, but that didn't matter to God. He sought his life. Could you imagine if Zipporah did not take that stone and circumcise the son. It'd be a very different Pentateuch. The author of the first five books of the Bible, he would have never made it to Egypt. He would have never delivered God's people if his wife didn't circumcise him with a sharp, well, his son with a sharp stone. It's relationship. It's all about relationship. So at this place, he's caught in transition. And I guess you could say that's the sermon title. I really didn't have one. It's caught in transition. Caught in transition. I have friends, lots of friends that used to go here. And I could call out so many names, but I won't. And we would always sit in the dorm rooms and we would talk about all the things we're going to do. We could talk about all the plans we had. We could talk about, they would say, like, oh, I can't wait to get out of school and I'm going to do these things. And they were very zealous about it. And I remember in one class, like, it was, I think it was OTS. And we were talking about the Tower of Babel and how all of them came together. And I remember even Brother Galleon said one time, it was like, the things we could do if we'd come together. And some of the students kind of echoed that. But some of those very students that I had those conversations with, now they don't do much. All the dreams that they had and the aspirations that they had to go write all the songs, go plant all these churches, to go win all these souls, never came through. And it's those students that didn't have great relationships with the Lord. And I can only say that because I was their friend. It seems so easy to make time for everything else and forsake prayer sometimes. So I've got to ask you. I know I didn't shout and hoop and holler, and it hasn't been the prettiest sermon. But if you could ask yourself, have I been praying like I should have been praying? Ask yourself, when's the last time you pushed away the plate and said, I'm not going to fast today? We could read hundreds of pages of our textbooks in a matter of days. But it takes us months to read two chapters of a Bible sometimes. We can shout and cry on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Wednesdays at Calvary Tabernacle. But when's the last time you've closed the door to your dorm room and you've lifted your hands when no one else was watching and felt the presence of God? It's easy on a Tuesday to come and dance and shout. But what about those days when no one's looking and the Lord's saying, where are you? Where are you? It's one thing to come when your attendance is required. And I love student body prayer, and you should come. And I know I'm not here every time. But if that is the longest amount of time that you pray during the week, there's a problem. And you should come to student body prayer. But if that is the extent of your prayer life, there's an issue. I used to get excited about the people who made it to the altar the first. That doesn't excite me anymore. That used to impress me. I used to be impressed with the people who could sing the best and could speak the best. That doesn't impress me anymore. I used to be impressed as a freshman when I came in of the people who could write the best songs and the songs that impacted my life. They walk these halls as we walk these halls right now. That doesn't impress me anymore. And the Lord's not interested in our Instagram relationships with him. When we post pictures of us reading our Bible, brother, you've received your blessing already. Because that's not what it's about. It's not about shouting in the front so people think I'm spiritual. But it's about shouting because I've got the victory. That's not what it's about. I'm telling you, I could name names. I could name names. I'm not going to. I could name names. We could walk down that hallway of pictures of graduates that were my friends. They were my friends. And some of them still receive checks from churches today. But it's just to perform. It's just to play the piano. That's all it is.
That's all it is. We become so versed at reading books about the Bible, but we're not very well at reading the Bible. We study sometimes to have sermons and messages, but we don't study to know the Lord and grow closer to Him. It's the truth. And this is not me bashing anyone, but this is right at me. I'm preaching to myself. There's books of this Bible that I fear that some of our eyes have not graced before. That you couldn't even tell what it's about because you've never read it. I believe in everyone in this room. I believe in you guys. I believe in you guys. But it's in transition where relationship matters way more than direction. It's covenant. It's right living. It's right living. And maybe for you, you are faithful in your reading. Maybe you do fast, but how do you treat your brother? Do you look down on those who maybe sin in a way that you've sinned before, but you've got the victory? Do you look down on them and lift your nose up towards them and say, how could the Lord ever use them? Or do you show mercy in a way that the Lord had to show mercy on you? It's what it's all about. It's what it's all about. And like I said, this goes to me too. I've got a friend, guys. He was one of my best friends before I came here. He was a great guitar player. And we talked about, we both were going to come to IBC. He was the person who was my friend when I got in church. He was the person that I could go and talk to. When I would run off every 2 weeks and he would come and knock on my door and say, where you been at, man? He was the person that spoke into my life on a peer level when I first got in church. We both wanted to come. And he said, I'm going to come. And it was the time. He was the person that I would go over his house and play video games, and he would stay up until 4 in the morning practicing the songs for worship service. And he said, why? Because it's my worship. And I believe God's worthy of it. So I want to give my best. We would talk about the songs that we liked and didn't like and the songs that were accurate and weren't very accurate, lyrically and doctrine. And he would always say, I like this song. Why? Because it's so worshipful. He viewed himself as a worship leader. This was a calling. But somehow over the years, it went from calling to just a volunteer service. When practicing, he lost his fire for it. And as a freshman, I always asked him, are you coming next semester? He said, no, man, I don't think I'm coming. But it was over a girl. He lost his desire and his savor for ministry because he wanted to start a business. And there's nothing wrong with being businessmen. We know that. There's nothing wrong with having faithful businessmen that love the Lord, that come to our churches, but that wasn't him. That wasn't his purpose. And I knew that wasn't his purpose. He wanted to start a business because the girl that he liked wanted someone that had their own business, like her father did. They wanted to have a house, a very nice house, because she grew up comfortably, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's what she wanted right away. So he had a decision to make. And he chose. And he's not here today. But the saddest part about that story isn't, well, it is that he's not here. But the saddest part is he's still in church. He still goes. But that when I see him, I see who he was and not who he is right now. When I see him, I know the person that he was because he was one of the people that helped me to get here. He was one of the people that had the same heart and desire that I did. We want to save the world. Teenagers said, we want to save the world. We didn't know what it looked like, but that's what we would say. We want to save the world. And now his construction company is primarily his world. What church and ministry was his world, now his business is. And he's doing well. He's making it. He's thriving. But at what cost? So again, I ask you, IBC, in closing, on the way to do the will of the Lord, in your own personal way, have you forgotten any part of doing the will of the Lord? If you can stand to your feet right now. With every eye closed, there's ministries in this place. And people say it all the time, there's future superintendents, there's future youth pastors, there's future worship leaders, pastors' wives, evangelists, youth workers, Sunday school teachers, Sunday school directors in this place. And the question is not, is that who you are? But I believe the question is, will you make it to the place that you know you're already called to be? Moses was called to be something. But in that moment, it all could have fallen through if it wasn't for his wife. And you have to infer that in some way, Zipporah knew. The Bible doesn't say that Moses told her to circumcise the son, but it doesn't also say the other way. But somehow she knew. She was a Midianite woman. She was not an Israelite. She was not of the people of the Lord. Her father worshipped idols. That's the home she came from. But in some way, his wife knew this has to be done to save my husband's life. And she didn't like it when she said, a bloody husband thou art to me because of this circumcision. She was not pleased. She cast it at his feet. So if we can search our hearts for a moment, all across this place, search your personal relationship with the Lord. It's not my place to come down to you and say, oh, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to get right. But to just simply say, as we go into break, as we get ready to go into this busy season of finals, how's your relationship with God? How's your prayer time with the Lord? Have you felt his presence in a while outside of a student body chapel? When's the last time you said, you know what? I'm pushing away all my plans and I'm just going to pray today. I'm just going to read the word and see what God has to say to me about my heart. This isn't about planning for a missions trip right now. This isn't about getting my sermons ready so that I can preach the word one day whenever they call my name for a chapel service. But this is about having a relationship with God. It's where it all started in the first place. When you first came to the Lord, it wasn't to speak in a service. It wasn't to sing behind a microphone. But it was because God loved you and he saved your soul. And it's that same God who loved you that just wants to talk with you. He just wants to walk with you. Come on, come on, all across this place. We're not praying for someone else right now, but we're praying for our own personal walk with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away.
Tickets are sold out, but you can still watch IBC Live. Visit indianabiblecollege.org/IBC Live.